In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you all. Amen. Dear Christians, this morning we are looking at the letter of St. Jude, the half-brother of our Lord. This letter was written later in the first generation of the church, not by the apostle Jude, but by the brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. And he writes this letter to the church because he is dearly concerned for your salvation, dear Christians. He is very concerned about false teachers that creep into the church. And he is very concerned about abandoning the faith that was once delivered to the saints through the mouth of the prophets and the apostles to the holy Christian church. He is worried about false shepherds, about wolves, about those that do not preach the gospel, but instead preach a different message. From the beginning, the church was plagued with false teachers that twisted God's word for gain. These teachers preached sensuality, man's reason, and rebellion against godly authority. He is concerned because those teachers might lead the church away from the truth that Jesus Christ, her Lord, has given to her, and would perhaps even lead us back into darkness and unbelief. And after writing this letter, he concludes with this beautiful passage that is our epistle lesson this morning. We're going to start a few verses before our reading in verse 17. St. Jude writes, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, fulfilling their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit.'" Jude reminds us and recalls for us the words of Jesus and the words that the apostles likewise taught, that there will be, even in the church, after Christ's ascension, false teachers. And particularly here, he says scoffers. Now, if you've read Proverbs, you'll know that a scoffer is the type of person that quibbles over everything. For us today to translate that, it might be the person that gets in arguments on Facebook posts, deep in the comments, right? This is the type of person that hears about the wrath of God or hears about the mercy of God, and all they have is objections. I'm not talking about the person here that has questions or doubts. That's not what I'm talking about. We'll get to those people in a moment. Because those people who doubt are a different kind of person. The scoffer, he is the one who knows that what he thinks is the truth, and it doesn't matter what testimony of Scripture you bring before him, what word of the Lord, what oracle of the Spirit contradicts what he says. His mind is made up, and his mind is made up to laugh at God, his Maker. The scoffer finds loopholes and objections to the law. He scoffs at the idea that the divine Godhead would commit, quote, divine child abuse to save someone that didn't really need saving to begin with because he just had to be a better person. That's the scoffer, the functional atheist, or sometimes, in fact, the real atheist. And Jude warns us, remember what Jesus said. Remember what the apostles said. There will be scoffers, even in the church. There will be those who laugh in the face of God's wrath, that yawn and snore in the light of God's gospel, and those who instead follow their own ungodly passions. And Jude here isn't just talking about 6th and 7th commandment issues. The point is that they follow their own mind and their own heart, apart from God, unrenewed by the word, not receiving holy baptism, not being given a clean conscience before God by absolution, not trusting in Christ's body and blood being delivered up as a sacrifice before God on the cross, and received in the chalice and on the tongue. No. Instead of believing that faith that was delivered once to the saints, they create divisions. They create disagreements within the church. They create factions. And what Christ created as a unity, as a body, they would much rather have in separate little pieces. They'd rather have a meat counter than the body, if you catch the drift. But you, beloved, Jude continues, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing right now here in the divine service. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. The false teachers, they want to question everything. They want to nitpick every single word of the apostles, because they've already decided in their own minds they are sufficient in and of themselves. But you know that is not the case. You know that you are not sufficient in and of yourselves. You know that you need something outside of you. Apart from God, you are sinful and unclean. On our own, man can do nothing. Or as Jesus put it a few weeks ago, with man it is impossible. And as we reach the end of the church year, as we approach the end of our calendar year, and as we reflect especially this day upon the final judgment, we recognize this is a time of the church year where we consider what are we doing to prepare for that day. Now there's two ways to prepare for the end of the world. There's two ways to prepare for judgment day. There's the way that the scoffers and unbelievers do, and there's the way that the Christians do. The Christian is preparing for something very different than we see in the movies. See, you and I know, dear Christians, that there's not going to be a zombie apocalypse, right? Okay, good. There will, however, and Jesus warns us about this, there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, plagues, and things like this. And while the prepper is busy stocking up on ammo and canned goods, while the climate activist is screaming about plastic bags and straws and whatever else they're worried about, what does the Christian do? The Christian prepares for the final judgment, not through heaping up canned goods, not through driving an electric car or making your home carbon neutral. The Christian prepares for the last day every time he gathers in the church, together in the divine service. Because your preparation, dear Christian, for the last day is not something you are going to accomplish on Amazon by purchasing things. It's not something you're going to accomplish by doing good works, by trying to stave off your own death or the heat death of the universe. Your preparation for the final judgment takes place right here in the divine service. For here, dear Christians, you get to preview judgment day. You get to hear those words of Christ. I forgive you. Go in peace. Every single week, here at Faith Lutheran Church, every Sunday, and for those that come every Thursday, you get to hear those words. Depart in peace. Why? Not because you have 5 years of sardines squirreled away somewhere. Not because you voted for the right person into Congress or the presidency. Not because you're on the right side of history. Not for any of those reasons. You're prepared because of what Christ gives to you. What Christ has done for you, dear Christian. You're not waiting for the market to crash or rise or do whatever it's going to do. You're not waiting for Pennsylvania to certify the election results. I'm not sure they have yet. You're waiting upon Jesus Christ, for him to return and to bring us into his presence and his kingdom forever. You're waiting for the love You're waiting in the love and mercy of God. Waiting in His mercy that leads to eternal life. That's where Jude then gives us here in verses 22 and 23 a few instructions, particularly to me as your pastor, but really also to all of us as we wait upon God's mercy. He says this, "Have mercy on those who doubt." Now, Jude means to tell us here to have mercy not on the scoffer, but on the one who is perhaps being confused by the words of the scoffer, by the one who has doubts that have been produced through man's reason, the one who struggles and has doubts because of their own sin. He is eaten up inside by the logical inconsistencies of man's wisdom, by the corruption of sin. And Jude says, have mercy on him. Speak to him the words of eternal life. Your Lord has paid for all your sins. Dear Christian, your sins have been paid for. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Holy baptism is Christ uniting you into His death and into His resurrection. And now, dear Christians, we look forward to, in a few moments, receiving the supper of the very body and blood of Jesus, wherein He again pronounces to you, your sins are forgiven. He reminds you what He has done for you. He died for you. And through His word, He teaches us all these things. He tells us also, He is not long now. Christ is coming soon. And when He returns, He will welcome you into His kingdom. He will vindicate you against your enemies. He will crush Satan under our feet. All the powers of this world, all the things that we're afraid of, He will bring into judgment and will utterly wipe them away. They won't matter at all on the last day. Remind yourselves, dear Christians, of those words. And Jude continues, save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Jude tells us to stick with the words of Jesus, to stick with the catechism. He especially enjoins this duty to the pastor. Yet all of us, to some extent, have a role to play. How do we treat our Christian brothers and sisters? Are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are. None of us is free to ignore one another. But when we see each other doubting, when we see each other being caught in sins, when we see each other falling away, we should be seeking to restore our brother, to seek mercy for him. And finally, Jude concludes his book with one of the most beautiful doxologies in the entire book of the Scriptures. We find in these words the absolute comfort that we have in Christ Jesus because of election. Because we know that God the Father has foreknown us from the beginning of the world, that He has chosen us for adoption. We know that Jesus Christ has laid down His life for us from the foundation of the world. And we know that the Holy Spirit from the beginning has been inspiring and leading the prophets and the apostles to give to us the words that we need to come to faith. Jude concludes his letter with these words. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Our God is the one who is able to keep you, dear Christian, to protect you without stumbling. That is, to keep you from falling out of faith. He is the one who is able, and in fact does, present you as blameless. That is, He brings you before the judgment seat on the last day, and He declares you innocent because of what Christ has done for you. And he is right now keeping you safe in his hand. As your good shepherd, he does not let the sheep wander off, but he brings them back into the fold. Your good shepherd is doing that for you right now, dear Christian, here in the divine service. And he is able to present you blameless before the presence of God. And he does this right now as our high priest, bringing your petitions, your needs, of body and soul to God the Father in the divine throne room. And he will also, on the last day, in the final judgment, when you stand before God, he will welcome you into his kingdom. He will look you in the eyes and he will say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom, which has no end." To him alone be the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, now and forever. Amen.